Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
State lawmakers recently voted to override Governor Pat McCrory's veto of legislation that requires drug testing of some applicants for public assistance. The ACLU of North Carolina led the opposition to the expanded drug testing. The group also worked against the sweeping voter suppression bill passed by the General Assembly this year and signed by Governor McCrory. Here to talk about those issues and a new legislative scorecard on civil liberties is Sarah Preston, Policy Director for the ACLU. Well, Sarah, thanks for being back with us on News and Views. We appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.
A lot to talk about in the civil liberties world. Let's start with something that's been in the news quite a bit, which is the attack on voting rights this legislative session. I'm going to ask you a little bit more about what happened this year, but what was your reaction to the decisions by the state board recently?
Well, I guess I sort of viewed it as a bit of a split decision. It does seem like the state board is trying to be reasonable and not go beyond what is set precedence. But at the same time, it would be nice to have them weigh in. Particularly, it was withdrawn, thankfully, but some of these local boards seem to be going a little beyond what's necessary, consolidating districts and making sort of these super precincts and making it harder for folks to vote. And I think having the state board, you know, weigh in on that would be very helpful at this point.
It's interesting that Governor McCrory and Senator Berger and others have talked a lot about the attacks on the voter suppression law and have only talked about the voter ID provision.
Right.
But there's a lot more in it than that.
Sure. This was sort of an omnibus voter suppression bill, really. It had provisions to eliminate pre-registration for 16 and 17-year-olds. It eliminated same-day voter registration. It obviously required the photo ID, but it also limited early voting. I think it ended up being something like a 30 or 40 page bill. So there were obviously a lot more to it than just voter ID. And nobody has addressed that.
It seemed long ago, at least publicly, there was a consensus that the more people voted, the better.
Well, that's certainly our position. We would like to see every eligible voter get out there and vote and have the opportunity to vote. So it's always been our position. And what we tried to encourage all session was that the legislature spend its time trying to make it easier for people to vote, not harder. And what they instead did was spend a good deal of their time figuring out how to make it harder to vote.
Recently, we had a veto override session, and one of the bills where they overrode the governor had to do with drug testing for some public benefits.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about that and what the ACLU's position is.
Sure. Well, what the bill did, what the now law is going to do, is require that some applicants for Work First benefits be subjected to drug testing, which is most likely going to be a urinalysis, in order to determine whether or not they're on drugs. And of course, if they test positive, then they get kicked off of the program and they have to seek treatment on their own and most likely pay for it on their own as well. And so our position was opposed to this bill originally as it was drafted. It required drug testing of every single person who applied for the benefit or received it. Anyone over 18 in a household would get drug tested if somebody in the household received that benefit. And we obviously thought that was just sort of wholesale suspicionless searches of people. We continued to oppose it even as it sort of got narrowed down a little bit so that not every single person applying is going to be drug tested. But as the governor actually pointed out when he vetoed it, the way that it is written is sort of vague, and it could lead to uneven application across the state. We're going to have different counties applying it differently and maybe actual different employees, state employees, applying it differently as well. So we were concerned about this sort of unequal application, as was the governor, and we supported his veto and urged legislators to sustain it. But unfortunately, it was overridden, so this bill is going to go into effect.
And what's the philosophical, for folks who are listening, the philosophical opposition to this? You know, there's a sort of the gut level response by some people in polls and other places is, oh, sure, why not? I had to take a drug test of my employer.
Well, of course, the constitutional concern, which was where the direction we were coming at it from, was that the Fourth Amendment protects people from unwarranted, suspicionless searches by the government. So, of course, the government is treated differently by the Constitution than your private employers would be, which was a distinction that, you know, a lot of folks actually had trouble with in the legislature. We had to sort of remind them that the Constitution doesn't necessarily apply to private employers, but it does apply to the government. And I think actually it's a very libertarian thing. That was one of the things that we talked to some Republicans who did, in fact, have a little bit of trouble with this, including people on the governor's staff, from a libertarian standpoint, they don't like the idea of this big government bureaucracy coming in and searching thousands of North Carolinians without any real reason to do so. But I think there's also sort of the argument that we had a system that was working. And this was the argument we heard on the floor from Republican Dr. Fulghum, which was that these folks right now are being screened. And if it's found that they're, you know, likely on drugs, they're actually getting referred to services and completing a drug treatment program is part of them continuing to receive their benefits. So if you're actually interested in getting people off of drugs, our current system is the way to do that. He called this bill the definition of kicking someone when they're down, which I think, you know, that's sort of the other problem with it. If you don't necessarily, if you aren't compelled by the constitutional argument, then this idea that we want to help people get off drugs and make sure that they're productive members of society, this is not the way to do it.
That was one of a score of issues that the ACLU worked on this year. You guys just put out your legislative report card. Tell us a little bit about what that is and what folks can learn from that.
Sure. Well, we developed this several years ago as actually a tool for our membership. The ACLU, of course, is a membership-based organization. We have approximately 11,000 members and supporters in the state. And we would get, at the end of every legislative session, a slew of phone calls wanting to know how their legislator did on civil liberties. And our board members and our members would just want to know how their legislator was doing. So we decided we would put together this basically just a tool for our membership to try and help folks understand how their own legislator was doing so they could kind of see whether or not they had a good civil libertarian representing them or not. You know, that was really all it was designed for, was really an educational tool. This year it's gotten a little more attention because, for one thing, we didn't have any of the positive bills to protect civil liberties passed this year, which usually we have some positive things that we supported get voted on, and not a single one got a vote in both the House and Senate. So we didn't have any bills that we supported on the scorecard, only bills we opposed. It's actually sort of interesting, to me at least, how sort of polarized. In the past, we had a lot of people sort of in the middle getting like 60s, 70s, 80s, both Democrats and Republicans, really. And this year we had a lot of people with 100% and we had a lot of people with zero. You know, it's on our website, and we do hope people will check it out and see how folks were voting on these civil liberties issues.
You mentioned none of the positive bills had a vote. That would lead me to and lead folks to believe this wasn't a very good session for civil liberties.
It was not I think overall it was not a good session for civil liberties. I've had a lot of people ask about that, and I think that the reality is we saw a lot more sort of negative bills that roll back rights introduced, more, I think, really than any past session. And we had a lot more of those bills get hearings. At the same time, it certainly could have been worse. There were a lot of bills introduced. We scored legislators on, I think, about 6 or 7 bills. In a sense, I guess we're lucky that it wasn't more than that. But it was not a good session for civil liberties.
One final question, one issue we haven't talked about, which I know you worked hard on, which is the restrictions or the new requirements for women seeking abortion services. I know the General Assembly passed the Right to Know law, which you opposed, the so-called Right to Know law, which you opposed in 2011. This year they came back and passed another sweeping attack on women's rights. How significant is that legislation?
I think it's a pretty expansive piece of legislation. It's probably, in a single bill, it's probably the most excessive we've seen in the nation. And honestly, I think a provision that got overlooked a great deal was the provision that prevents women from getting health insurance that covers abortion through the state exchanges. That, I think, is extraordinarily troubling. And other states have done this. This isn't just North Carolina, but it's extremely troubling because it does mean that for women who might be carrying a catastrophic pregnancy, they are not going to be able to get help until they can find the money themselves to pay for it. And those are generally the more expensive procedures. So I think it's very, very difficult for women. And that provision itself is very troubling. But then it also had the ambulatory surgical center regulations, which everybody heard about. I think that got a lot more news attention. And we're going to have to see what the department does with that. It gives the department authority to put new regulations on abortion clinics, but it doesn't require them to. So it's going to be now up to the department and the McCrory administration, really, to determine how to apply those regulations.
Well, thanks for all you're doing to protect our civil liberties, and thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Up next, the school-to-prison pipeline in Wake County. Stay with us.